Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from John chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is the text. As we do each year during this season of Epiphany, we spend these weeks witnessing Jesus of Nazareth being revealed as the Son of God. That is what an epiphany is. That which was once hidden is revealed. Last week we witnessed Jesus' baptism, and oh, how he was revealed as the Son of God. He comes up out of the water, and God the Father's voice thunders down from heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, something we hear John the Baptist refer to in our gospel reading today. This is how John knew that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We see at Jesus' baptism, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all present and active. Just like they were all present and active at your baptism. No, there was no voice that thundered down from heaven, I'm assuming. There was no dove that descended down upon you. But do not think that their presence is any less diminished just because there was not that tangible, unique experience that Jesus had. God has chosen to reveal himself to you in his word joined with the water. Like I said last week, that may not be the way that you want God to come to you, but that is the way that he has chosen. And now in our reading today, Jesus is further revealed as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, this is not immediately after his baptism. John here, the evangelist, says the next day these things happened. Well, the next day is not a reference to the day after Jesus' baptism, but it was the next day after the crowd had been asking John the Baptist, "Are you the Christ?" Because immediately after Jesus' baptism, what happened? Well, Jesus went out into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. And as the letter to the Hebrews says, we have a high priest, Christ, who can empathize with our weaknesses. All his life he was tempted, just as we are. He was tempted in every way, just as we are. But here's the important part, yet was without sin. And now he has returned from that time out in the wilderness, and he's going to begin his public ministry. Now, already he has taken the burden of sin upon his shoulders. That was the great exchange that we saw last week in his baptism. He takes the guilt of all the sin of the world upon himself so that he can then journey towards, ultimately, the cross and the grave. Well, John sees Jesus coming toward him, and in reference to the questions about John the Baptist being the Christ, and he keeps saying, "No, no, no, I baptize you with water, but there is one coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." And he sees Jesus coming, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We look carefully at those words. He does not say he has come to take away the sins of the world. He has come to take away the sin of the world. Literally, the sin, singular, of one of the great Greek words. It was so easy to learn, the cosmos. Even I knew what that was before I looked it up in a dictionary. He came to take away the sin of the cosmos, all that is seen and unseen. You are not a sinner because of the sins that you commit. You are a sinner because of sin. You are born in sin. Really, you are conceived in sin. The sins you commit, your evil thoughts, the words, deeds that we confess, and rightfully so, those are really only the fruit of the sin that by nature we have inherited from Adam. And that's the real problem. The real problem is that I am full of sin. And anyone who would say, oh, I am not a poor, miserable sinner. No, I'm not poor in spirit. I'm not miserable. I am not a sinner. And trust me, there are people out there who preach that kind of message. Ultimately, they are saying, I don't need the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm doing just fine on my own. Well, if you are not a poor, miserable sinner, then you have no need for Jesus to have died on the cross. And you place yourself outside of Christ in His church. It is for the sake of poor, miserable sinners that John the Baptist reveals who Jesus is. Jesus comes as the Lamb of God. He is the final offering upon the altar of the cross, so that the one who was without sin, Jesus, could become sin for us. St. Paul speaks about this very deliberately. In fact, he uses those exact words. He who was without sin has become sin for us. It's the epistle reading for Good Friday every year. This one sinless man becomes the personification of sin. He becomes the fullness of sin, so that God the Father can pour out His wrath upon that sin. And so He pours out His wrath upon His Son. And He is nailed to the cross and put into a grave along with our sin. No sin is left unpaid for. That is the great exchange that we saw last week in Jesus' baptism. The burden of all of the guilt for all of the sin of the world, He took upon Himself. He truly is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We hear John the Baptist reveal this truth. If the sin of the world, inherited from Adam, is taken away, and that burden is lifted off of us, as it is in our baptism, then the guilt of all of your sins is taken away, washed away also. Now, our human nature always wants to look at things backwards. When you look back on your life, you're like me, we tend to look back at our sin, and we feel shame for what we have done. We feel guilt for what we have done. But when we look back on our life of sin, do we ever really look back at the sin of Adam that we have within us? Or do the pangs of guilt that you feel come from the sins that you have committed? You know, those unfortunate ways in which you treated your neighbors or loved ones, or the guilty pleasures you've allowed yourself to participate in. I know for me, the pangs of guilt I have felt in the inner parts of my being, it hasn't come from pondering the depth of my depravity as a child of Adam. My prayer of thanks to God is always, thank you, Lord, for rescuing me from myself. As I said a couple weeks ago, when I listen to my heart, I end up sinning because that's what my heart tells me to do. I am a poor, miserable sinner. And so are you. We needed the Lamb of God to come and take away the sin of the world. We needed the Son of God to shed his blood upon the altar of the cross. We needed the righteous wrath of God to be directed at Jesus and not at us. God's righteous wrath is poured out on sin. And he who was without sin became sin for us. And the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world. During this Epiphany season, we ponder Jesus of Nazareth being revealed as the Christ, the Messiah, the one promised to Adam who would crush the head of Satan. John the Baptist revealed himself, or John the Baptist revealed Jesus to all who would listen to his words. Those same words reveal Jesus of Nazareth as the Lamb of God to you this day. As I said before, God presents himself the way God wants to present himself. And God permits himself to be found when and where he permits himself to be found. And he is found in his word. And through the words of John the Baptist, he has chosen to reveal to you the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world. Now, the amazing thing about the presence of God in the church today versus the presence of God in days of old, you know, back in Bible times, is that you are just as forgiven as the believers who walked and talked with John the Baptist or with Jesus himself. Even those who stood at the foot of the cross or who entered into the empty tomb, they have no salvation advantage on you. John's words remain true. They were true for the likes of Andrew and Simon Peter, and they are true for you, that the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world. That is the reality of the gospel under which we live, under the grace of our baptism. And your faith in that reality has brought to you the righteousness of God. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.